Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe Jans has been laying down the funnies already, and we haven't even started recording. So tonight's going to be a wake the kids and phone the neighbors night, I think. And
yeah, he's already coming at me already before even recording.
The butt of many of these Joe jokes, I guess there's got to be some joke
about
Joe.
Terrible.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Jokes.
Don't worry. I'm coming right back at Joe.
But the butt of many of these jokes is our beloved superfan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
All rise. We are here in the CineScare courtroom, and I am your judge, superfan Mark. Joe, would you please take the stand?
Are you having a Markaleptic seizure?
No. So Joe has taken the stand, CineScare listeners. Joe, would you place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand?
Okay.
Okay, you don't have a Bible.
Just playing along with this, yeah.
Yeah, okay, raise your right hand, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Just so we can move this segment along, sure.
Great. Question number one, are you a fan of horror films?
Kinda.
Do you consider yourself possibly an expert on horror films?
Well, I do co-host a podcast dedicated to nothing but them, so I guess, yeah.
Good answer. Are you a fan of classic horror films?
Yes, I am.
What type of...
Well, I know where this is going. This is utterly ridiculous.
Hey. What type of classic horror films are you a fan of?
Just about everything except for werewolf movies.
So you've seen Scream?
Yes, I have seen Scream.
You've seen Halloween?
Once or twice.
Friday the 13th?
Yes, I have.
Drive-In Massacre?
More than once.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
A couple of times.
Are you a fan of comedy?
I have been known to giggle from time to time.
Are you a fan of horror comedy?
Yes, that was my pick for one of the themes.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, host of CineScare, are you a fan of the movie The Twilight Zone?
Co-host. Yes, I am.
You a fan of the Blues Brothers?
Most certainly.
Yeah,
wonderful soundtrack.
That's the question leading up. A fan of the Kentucky Fried Chicken movie.
I'm not a fan of this bit. I can tell you.
We're almost done.
You mean the Kentucky Fried movie? I don't think chicken's in the title. I've never even seen it.
Right. Okay, so let's just end this bit right here.
Okay.
So with all those yeses, I mean, can you tell the jury why you haven't seen a certain film that was directed by John Landis, and do you know the name of this film, Joe?
American Werewolf in London.
That's right. This is shocking.
I'm not a fan of werewolf movies.
But you haven't seen American Werewolf in London. Matt, can you please chime in?
I can't get over this bit. Run these by the team, Mark. Before,
yeah, maybe we should have screened.
What?
Who's screening these callers?
I warned you guys before we started the podcast. I said I got a little tidbit. I warned you. Maybe
God
it's not the
it,
funniest.
Joe.
I think
God
that's more
it,
more tid than bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. So Joe, how did this happen? How did this happen?
I watched plenty of other movies besides that one. Never got around to it. It's not like I won't, like I'm opposed to it. I just never got around to it. I just finally saw The Stuff.
Yes!
Well, it's obviously a little bit of a shock that you've never seen American Werewolf, because it does seem like a Joe movie. It's horror comedy.
It's a complete Joe movie.
Does it have lots of Joe Oaks in it?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Well, as shocked as we all are by that bit.
maybe I'll watch it during Shocktober.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
That's a great idea.
Which is a nice segue to let people know that this episode should be coming out on Friday, October 1st.
Yep, it will be coming out.
So first Friday, day of October, first day of Shocktoberfest.
Yep.
Which, for those of us who don't know, like Mark, That's where you're supposed to watch 5 horror movies every day for 31 days.
It's not 5. I was thinking of doing 3, but oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do 3.
Yeah,
that
there's
would be
no way
fun
I can,
to do.
There's no way I can do 3. I bet if I mean my hat's off to you if you can do 3 in a day. I couldn't do that, but yes.
I just watch them at twice the speed.
Oh, you speed them up. There you go.
Yeah,
I don't think that's possible, but you know, you could fast forward and kind of get the gist, but if it's a movie you've already seen before, especially.
I'm sure plenty of people have fast-forwarded through the first 10 minutes of our podcast.
Oh, I'm sure. There's a lot of skipping right now.
That's not true.
So, yes, we are now officially, as of the, not this recording, but as of the release of this, in October, and it is Shocktober. You need to watch, if you're going to follow along with us, you need to watch one horror movie every day during the month of October. We call it Shocktober, the Shocktober Challenge, and then, if you are so inclined, I post every movie that I watch on my Instagram account. So if you want to follow me on there, it's Matthew.speak, and I post every movie I watch, horror or otherwise, on mostly horror, on there, because I mostly watch horror movies thanks to being a co-host of a podcast. But if you want to follow along, I'll follow you back. And post whatever movie you've been watching too during the month of October, because there's a lot of good finds you can do if you just see what somebody else has been watching. There's some good finds out there that maybe you didn't realize were out there. Of course, the first part of this month is going to be dedicated probably for us mostly to watching. At least the first week or two will be dedicated for us to watching Halloween, because the next episode and the following episode will be centered on the theme of the Halloween franchise. And Joe?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you had something to say because you were going like you wanted to interject. But
no, I just needed more oxygen.
Oh, funny like that. You're funny like that. But anyway, if you want to follow along with us in that way, watch all of the Halloween movies. We are going to be splitting it up over 2 episodes, and we will have a special guest, a return guest, our first return guest, actually, Joe, Mr. James Oster, who is a producer. He's a director. He mostly writes, though. He does a lot of writing of horror movie and other movie reviews. He also has a couple podcasts and a couple YouTube shows. He's kind of super busy all the time. He's got, what was the Something Scary? Was that the podcast that he had? And then Stony.
Yeah. He's got so many things in his bag of tricks. It's hard to keep track. But looking very forward to having Jimmy O back with us.
I'm super excited to actually meeting and talking to him. I don't know how he's going to handle me, but
yeah, I'm sure he'll get the gist of it and chime right in with all the what did you call it? Markalepsy?
Markalepsy.
Yeah.
I would like to thank my friend Chris for that name. And I would also like to say hi to Mark's friend Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, you did it. You did it.
Hey, Brian. Brian, we really like you. We think you're a great fan. And
friend of the show, Brian.
Yeah, friend of the show, Brian.
You did it. Oh, my God.
But the other thing I wanted to say about Jimmy O is that he is a huge – the reason he's joining us for the next 2 episodes is that he's a huge Halloween fan and has done a lot of shows himself about the Halloween franchise. He knows – probably almost as much as I do about the Halloween franchise. So I'm saying that because he's probably going to kill me when he hears that. But anyway, he probably knows more than I do, maybe.
And Mark has been researching deep and hard on Halloween trivia for all of us as well.
Yep. I've already completed it. I did go deep and hard. It's going to be epic, guys. You have no idea.
Awesome, because I know Jimmy's going to be down for it, and it's going to be mano a mano. We're going to see who the real Halloween fan is. So you got to tune in.
We really are going to find out who is the ultimate Halloween fan out of the 3 of you. That's for sure.
Yep. And so definitely tune in to the next couple of episodes. We will be splitting up Halloween franchise over the next the next episode will be coming out around the 15th, and then the last one will be on the 29th or 30th or something like that. 29th. And of course, we'll have to talk about the new one, which we will be seeing all of us, I'm sure, on opening night. So
Anthony Michael Hall. Yes, yeah. Tommy Doyle.
Yeah, no, I'm very pumped. I saw the new trailer. Now the
wait, there's a new trailer?
Well, the final trailer, yeah, came out like a month or a week ago, I think.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, and that was the one that showed that they're bringing back some characters, including Lindsay from the original and Tommy Doyle from the original. Although Lindsay is played by the original actor.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she played by, I can't remember the woman's name now, but she was on some like Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever as on that show, but she's, I can't remember her name now, but
oh, that's insane.
But the original actor who played Tommy Doyle is not coming back there. That's Anthony Michael Hall, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Although,
but I'm stoked about that.
It would have been super cool if they'd had, what's his name? Ant-Man. Why can't I think of
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Wait, oh my God. No.
Well, Paul Rudd played him in part six. So it would have been awesome.
What a horrible movie.
That would have been great. Yeah.
That would have been fantastic. So,
the timeline would have been pretty bad since they pretty much erased the whole entire franchise except from the original. So that would have kind of screwed everything up.
Well, yeah, it would have been just a nod to, you know, to the history of the franchise, I guess. But I don't know. Who knows? They may have reached out to him and he was like, I'm busy or something like that. But I have seen that the reviews, the early reviews of this are not so great. So
it's mixed.
Yeah, it's mixed. But
it's like 7 out of 10.
But it's one of those I don't care. I mean, you know, what does it matter? As long as we get to see Michael out there on Halloween
fighting
night.
Firefighters, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, it's I'll be down. Okay. And I did want to say that I went to Halloween Horror Nights here at Universal Studios, and if you're in the LA area, I highly suggest it. There's some fantastic mazes, including I went to the one, there was one for Halloween 4, which is unusual, but I think it had to do with probably rights. You know, they own the rights to Halloween 4 and not the original or whatever. But then they also had, they had a bunch of other mazes. There were two that I didn't get to, but the main ones that I went to were Halloween 4, which was cool, The Exorcist, Haunting of Hill House, which was awesome, and then there one called Pandora's Box that was just okay. Or actually, it was pretty good, but it wasn't based on a movie that I knew of anyway. So that was pretty cool.
Did you jump? Did you actually jump? Did they actually scare you, or was it just fun to look at the special effects?
Oh, it was both. Yeah. No, definitely jump out at you. There's hallways that have walls, you know, that look like it's just a wall. And then but it's made so that when they turn a light on behind it, you can see through it. And there's like somebody jumps out at you. And then there's loud sounds and stuff. And then there are rooms where they have actors playing the parts. You know, there were some good jump scares in it for sure. And a lot of them. So, but the Exorcist one was amazing. They had this mechanical little girl with the head spinning around, and then it shoots like, it's supposed to look like it's puking on you or whatever, but it's just like it's like a steam kind of, but it was pretty good. So
yeah,
I highly recommend that.
There's nothing like bringing someone that really gets scared, bringing him into like a haunted house, or, you know, a girl or a guy. When you have one of those people with you, boy, is it fun.
Yeah. So I didn't watch anything that was not theme related this week. Did either of you guys?
Yeah, Joe watched The Stuff.
Oh yeah, Joe watched The Stuff. Anything you wanted to say about that, Joe?
Paul Sorvino is just an American sweetheart, you know? Didn't get more work.
He's a national treasure. Me.
He's a national treasure. He's an excellent tipper. He gives clear, excellent precise. Tipper. Yeah, yeah. The rest of the movie was just butt awful terrible. You know, it was a real waste of an hour and a half.
No,
Joe, were there any chubby police officers who don't do anything?
No, which is why I wasn't a big fan of it. You know,
yeah.
I got a soft spot in my heart for those chubby police officers, chubby detectives.
Yeah.
But no, all
you
I
had,
all,
you had
I,
a chubby I, general.
I sucked the Paul Sorvino marrow out of this one, and there's just an empty shell left. So.
Yeah, it's all about
yeah,
that.
That's quite a visual image, too, by the way.
That the entire the scene where Paul Sorvino comes in and starts directing orders, it takes, like, what, 6 seconds, 7 seconds? And it's that scene is just it's hilarious, but it's not worth watching the rest of the movie. Sorry,
it's
Mark.
It's a little fun to watch. Special effects are great. You know, they use that room that they use for Nightmare on Elm Street where the
yeah.
room rotates. And there's some
yeah.
funny scenes in it. The lead actor is what a ham that guy is with that southern accent. And it's fun
yeah.
to watch. I still recommend yeah. it. I really do. I think it's a great time.
I'll take me some Drive-In Massacre. Over
yeah,
that one.
Over that
yeah.
one? Oh, boy. That's
yeah.
that's not a
yeah.
ringing endorsement, Joe.
If I can only bring one of those two movies on a desert island, it's going to be Drive-In Massacre every time.
Oh, boy.
I'll agree with that.
Okay. So this week, and unless you had something else, I didn't see anything that wasn't theme-related this week. So.
Well, I mean, I watched that episode of Little House on the Prairie that you recommended, Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Or Matt.
yeah. Yeah. You, Mark was talking about watching Little House on the Prairie to cleanse his palate from all the horror we've been watching. And I told him, I said, why don't you watch the episode called Sylvia? And when I described what happened, you're muted, Mark, but when I described what happens in the episode, Mark at first thought that I was, like, telling him a sick joke or something like that. But it's actually true. It is the most disturbing episode of Little House on the Prairie. There's a little girl like, middle school-age girl or something like that, who is kind of the first love of the son named Albert, right?
Albert, yeah, Albert.
And she gets attacked and, like, basically raped, I believe.
She's raped because she gets
yeah.
knocked up.
Oh, she was pregnant?
Yeah, she gets pregnant. Oh,
by
my
a
God.
Guy, and it, by a guy in the creepiest clown mask ever, too. And when I told that to people about that episode, because I remember when I was a little kid, we watched it. My mom loved Little House on the Prairie, and I'd watch it with her a lot. And that episode scared the crap out of me. I was probably about their age, about fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, something like that, when I saw it. And that scared me. That scared me to death. It was a horrifying. It was. It wasn't so much scary as it was. It just really disturbing.
It's disturbing
in my memory.
And she dies at the end. She dies at the end because
right. yeah.
It's
a two-parter.
Now you spoiled
it. It's a two-parter.
Well, oh, that's true. Who's watching? Nobody's watching.
No, nobody's going to watch it.
Anyone listening to this podcast is not watching, other than Mark, is not
I was
watching
making my
House.
Way up to it. I only got up to season 4, and now I'm not even going to bother anymore.
Yeah, you know, there's no point now, Joe.
Yeah.
It's just funny that I'm cleansing my palate with Little House on the Prairie, and of course, Matt Texas going, you know, you should really see Sylvia. I'm like, you twisted, what kind of twisted mind? It just comes up with that. It's like Matt is all horror nonstop. I'm watching Little House on the Prairie for cleansing my palate, and right off the bat, Matt's going, "You got to watch season 7 of this." I'm just like, "Are you kidding me?" So I watched it, and I actually jumped because before the guy in the clown mask like grabs
so
Sylvia,
it's still effective. It's like it's an effective episode.
Yes, there was a jump scare where before the guy in the clown mask grabs her, she scares some birds off, and I actually jumped. I'm just like, holy shit, and then, you know, he grabs her. It's just really demented and dark, and at the end, she dies, and of course, the Little House on the Prairie, like, music at the end. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's so inappropriate. I'm like... Why did this episode even exist?
I don't understand. Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
Yeah, I don't understand what he was thinking, because that was – it's so out of place. It's so unlike anything else that was ever on that show. I mean, there were a couple kind of dramatic episodes, but there was never anything like that. That was insane. And it didn't the guy who attacked her – who did he turn out to be?
Albert's boss.
No, yeah, it was Albert's boss. How did you know?
Mark,
did you watch it?
He looked it up online.
No, he was like a blacksmith or something, and it doesn't even explain like why he was doing what he was doing. But at the
because she was hot.
But even Laura Ingalls slaps Sylvia in the face because she's like she's got post traumatic distress whatever. And Laura's going, stop it, Sylvia, stop it, and it slaps her right across the face. I'm like, these episodes are crazy.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's nuts. I can't believe we're talking about Little House on the Prairie.
I will say this. I brought up this episode to a couple people that I know have seen the entire series, and I showed them. I didn't bring up the name of the series first. I just asked them if they were an avid watcher, and they said yes. And then I showed them a picture of that mime mask, that clown mask, and both of them were just like, it's like they're scarred for life, and they can never unsee that image.
Oh, yeah. I challenge all of you listeners to search photos on Google of the episode Sylvia from Little House on the Prairie, because that clown mask is probably it's scarier than I think either it clown mask or clown face.
I don't know about that. I would love to see that mask make a comeback and see that all over trick or treating this year's Halloween.
It's kind of a mime
right,
mask.
Yeah. And mimes are freaky, let me just say. Okay.
Okay.
So we do need to get to our as much as I want to talk about Little House, we do need to get to our theme, which is it was my choice this time, and I'm probably going to be three. I'm going to owe you three or whatever, because the next two are kind of, I suppose, sort of my choice, but not really. I don't know. Whatever. But the theme for tonight is, and I'm still struggling to say how to say it, but I guess hauntings is the theme. Ghosts and hauntings would be the theme for this one. It's interesting because what constitutes a haunted house in a movie, oft because it's not just ghosts. Very rarely, in fact, when you think about it, do the spirits in these movies turn out to be just ghosts? There's something more malevolent about them usually. Usually there's some demonic force involved, some sort of maybe Satan worship or whatever. But often it turns out there's something more than just ghosts involved in the place. But I just love this genre. And I think that when it's well done, this is the genre that does it for me in terms of giving me the heebie-jeebies more than any other. It's not well done that often, unfortunately, but when it is really well done, it's a creepy thing for me, and this is what I get the goosebumps about. And so, if I do get scared by a movie, it's usually something to do with the afterlife or something to do with ghosts or a presence in the house. So when we're talking about Insidious, The Conjuring, The Changeling, The Haunting, going all the way back. And these are probably, I would say that ghost stories are probably the most consistent story in human history. Going all the way back to campfire clans of people sitting around the campfire talking about lost loved ones and ancestors and that sort of thing, all the way up until we get into the Middle Ages, or actually in Roman times, there were a couple plays written by, I can't remember the name of the Roman philosopher, Greek times. There were a couple plays having to do with ghosts. There were in the Roman times, the first ghost, as far as we know anyway, the first ghost story where the ghost actually has chains on him was during Roman times. And then, of course, it's a repeated part of Shakespeare, ghosts involved in a lot of Shakespearean plays. And then into the 1800s, when horror really started to become a genre in literature, you started to see some ghost stories there. and all the way, you know, in the history of movies, the first horror movies were ghost stories in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So it's a genre that is spread, that has spanned human entertainment for ages, and it's something that we all are fascinated by. Obviously, religion is, you know, and all of the religious institutions that we have in the world, they're all devoted to some idea of the afterlife or so what comes after now. And it's something that fascinates us and kind of scares us, the idea of our loved ones coming back, or people who used to live where we live still kind of being there. It's a fascinating genre to me, and it's probably my favorite. It's right up there with slashers and all of those. So who wants to start us off with a movie that you watched? Joe?
Okay, Mark's pointing at me. Here was a good one. The Haunting. You already mentioned, 1963, The Haunting. Brief synopsis is there's a house, a hill house that people have thought for years was going to be haunted. And a doctor, a researcher, decides he's going to take an investigative team up there. It's like their earliest ghost hunters. They go and they want to spend a few days in this house and do their research and see if there really are ghosts. And he brings a young skeptic along with him. I believe his name's Luke. He's actually the guy who's supposed to be inheriting the mansion once the current owners die. And brings a couple more people, a clairvoyant named Theodora and a insecure little lady by the name of Eleanor, whose psychic abilities really tune her into the ghosts that are present there. And they start to live in the house and experience a lot more than what they had originally expected. But this is a great film. This is what encompasses the entire genre of haunted house films.
Yep.
This is the building blocks of this subgenre. Wonderful seeing this type of cinematography where they're creating such a wonderful mood in a black and white film. I mean, it's amazing what you can do simply with shadows.
Right.
And some great acting and some wonderful Foley work, some sound effects. There's no blood and gore or any of that other stuff, but it's still, even today watching it, you know, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's more of a mystery, I guess. A lot of these have a mysterious air to them rather
right.
than just purely hauntings. It's kind of a Scooby-Doo type of thing, like who's really doing this? Who's the,
yeah.
you know, the guy?
Or what's the purpose of the ghost that is there? If it is a real
right.
ghost, what's the
yes.
purpose? What are they
Why are they there?
Yeah, why are they there?
But this, you know, when we started this, I'm like, all right, I want to go back as far as I can to try to find, you know, the early ones, the classics. And this is a perfect example. So The Haunting from 1963.
Yeah, I watched this one too. And it's one of my favorite horror movies, one of my favorite ghost stories for sure. And I loved if you've read the book, it's from a book by Shirley Jackson. And based on that book. And if you've read the book, there's something going on in the house that's more than just a haunting even. In the movie, it focuses a little bit more, I think, on the haunting aspect. But there's something so disorienting about the cinematography, the camera angles. There's so many angles where there's a mirror in the background of it, like behind someone, and you can kind of see them in the mirror too, where you get this idea that there's almost two dimensions, more or multiple dimensions in this house, and which one are we in? It's certainly not overt. It's not something that's directly mentioned, but the idea there that there's something other, not just otherworldly, but another other dimension, extra dimensional going on too. It's a fantastic film. I love the atmosphere too, and of course it's set in a very typical haunted house. The out there, the exterior shots are fantastic as well, of that castle looking structure. Yeah. And of course, one of the first major films to depict overtones of a gay character. It's not openly said. It's sort of like in the book, the same way the woman sort of has lesbian inclinations, it seems like, and she at times seems to be hitting on the main girl. And so, but for that time, 1963, that's unbelievable.
Racy.
They're, yeah, pretty racy. And of course, that was in the book as well. But so they probably could only do so much of it, and it had to be very subtle. It couldn't certainly be overt at that time. But great movie. Yeah, good one, Joe. How about you, Mark?
I watched House, the 1986 version.
Good one.
Yeah. House is created by my boys, the Friday 13th crew. Steve Miner was – Joe's laughing already – Steve Miner was the director of House.
I thought you were going to say you're Lost Boys.
No. Steve Miner.
There are no Corys in it.
No Corys. Steve Miner, who was the director of House, was the director of Friday 13th Part 2 and 3. Sean Cunningham, who produced the original Friday 13th, was the producer of this. And even they brought in the composer of Friday 13th, the original. The cast is with William Catt from the TV show Greatest American Hero, one of the greatest opening songs ever, like Believe It or Not. I love that song. George Wentz in it from Cheers, and even Richard Mull from Night Court. So, I mean, it was just all like a spew of just at the height of, you know, George Wentz's career and Richard Mull's, you know, brings him in there. It's a comedy horror with a lot of fun bits and
tons of practical effects too.
Tons of practical effects. I mean, you got a mounted swordfish that comes to life that Roger has to fight. There's ghouls running around the house. Hijinks with his neighbor George went killing a monster in a closet with a harpoon gun. Funny flashback scenes with Richard Mull in Vietnam firing machine guns. Just really a super fun. And you could watch it free on Amazon Prime. It's a super fun film.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. I still haven't seen Part House 2 yet, but
I did. It's not good. It's not
yeah,
good.
I heard yeah. mixed things about it.
I just love the tagline, House 2, the second story.
The second story. Yeah.
All right. The first movie that I watched in this theme was 2015's Crimson Peak, directed by Guillermo del Toro. And this is a lush, lavish looking gothic horror. It's the ghosts in it are not necessarily the main focal point of the film. There's really more of a almost a psychological thriller aspect to it. But basically what it is, it begins set in early 1900s, late 1800s New York. And this girl who's basically of Marian age, her dad is a wealthy businessman. And there's a brother and sister from England. He's a lord of an estate in England, and he has an invention it's like a mining invention for mining clay, and he needs money to fund it. And so they come to the United States to get money, and this girl's father is trying to decide whether he wants to. And so the lord actually proposes to the daughter. Through a series of events, the father dies and the girl winds up marrying this guy. Well, there are ulterior motives involved in this marriage, and everything is not exactly above board. And so when she gets to England and lives on the estate, it's this sort of rotting castle that is kind of falling apart. It seems like it's sinking into this red, red, red clay. It's very Tim Burton-esque looking. I mean, it's very Guillermo del Toro looking too. He had, you know, his movies always have a really strong aesthetic and art direction and everything. And the sets are amazing. The costumes are fantastic. It's really beautiful to behold. Where the ghosts come in is they really are coming in to warn the girl that, hey, things aren't right and everything. But there's some pretty creepy ghosts that come in. It's not scary by any means, but it's not bad. I gave it, I think, three cuts, three, maybe three and a half. It's not too bad. But I hadn't seen it before, so I was happy to check it out. And that was Crimson Peak. Of course, I watched The Haunting too, but we'd already talked about that. So, Joe, what was the next one you watched?
I wanted to stay with the classics just because I liked the first one so good. So I went with the 1959 classic, House on Haunted Hill. When I was a kid growing up outside of Chicago in LaSalle, Peru area, we used to get WFLD as a kid. And on, I think it was Saturday afternoons, they used to have this guy, Sonny Svengoolie. He used to dress up with the makeup.
The monster,
oh yeah, he used to,
the top hat and he had
monster
a,
rally movie
the
or
skeleton
whatever.
And yes. The coffin that would come out. Oh my god,
yep.
What a
yep.
great
show! So I used to spend my Saturday afternoons watching Son of Svengoolie, and I would always be really excited when there was going to be a Vincent Price movie. Vincent Price just always fascinated me. He's such a presence, and so he of course. Is in this film. He plays the eccentric millionaire Frederick Lauren. So him and his fourth wife, Annabelle, who they've decided to bring five people into their house, and he's going to pay them all $10,000 if they can survive the night. And he even brandishes them with there's these seven little coffins that he opens up, and each one of them has a revolver in it. And I'm like, oh, this is perfect. I would gladly do this. And I did the math. $10,000 back then would be about $92,000 today.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, go ahead. You pick the house. I'll stay the night for 92 grand. Piece of cake. Oh, yeah. No problems. Yeah. But this is one of those films that, you know, a mysterious scream off stage, you know, and some little drops of chocolate syrup coming off the ceiling, dripping onto somebody's hand and telling us that it's blood. Really dark contrasting shadows and no real special effects to be, you know, seen. It still creates such a creepy atmosphere. It's all ambiance with these films. And it's great acting. These people sold this story so well. And there have been, you know, remakes and remakes upon remakes of this type of film. But this was a classic. This is something, again, I think you should, you know, it should be the second classic horror movie that you watch. So again, House on Haunted Hill, 1959.
I watched it too. I don't think I had the same reaction as Joe. I thought, I mean, it's fun to watch the acting back in their time. They're, you know, they're all on contracts. They all have this certain way that they talk. This was actually the first Vincent Price movie I've ever seen. Yeah, believe it or not. I had no idea Vincent Price was so tall. That guy is monstrously tall. And he's great, and he's, like, super jealous, you know, with his wife. The practical effects were, I thought, so cheesy. And I know it's like back in the day, you could do what you can do. I mean, you can see the wire hanging from the skeleton coming out of the acid pit. The scary like witch or the ghost of the old woman. And obviously she's on a this like rolling device, and I was kind of laughing, you know, when she was like coming into the room and coming out. But it was a fun movie. I really enjoyed watching it. But it's pretty dated, and you know, it's 1959, so of course it is. It was just one of those films where I just thought it was kind of dated, and it was an iffy thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time period. You kind of have to think of it in its own time period when you're watching it. It's their effects aren't going to be as great as ours, but I love the atmosphere in that movie. I didn't watch it this time, but I'd seen it a few years ago again, and I've seen it a couple times, and I love the atmosphere in that. And that's really what I want. And when I see it, when I watch a haunted house movie, I want it, you know, I want my atmosphere in my area to be like that too. And I want it to be one of those chilly nights and you get blankets out, and I want the atmosphere in the movie to be like that as well.
That house is gorgeous, by the way. It was kind of like a modern house that they did. It's not like one of those regular creepy, you know, ratchy haunted houses. It was a modern look to it. And boy, what a looker Annabelle was, man. She was smoking hot. Hot legs.
All right. So, well, I guess that was your next one, eh? The next one I watched, I decided to branch out and watch a Japanese, or no, I think this is Korean, actually. Yeah, it's a Korean film. A Tale of Two Sisters from 2003, directed by Kim Ji-woon. Basically, it is about a girl, little girl, or a teenage girl, I believe. She's recently released from a mental institution and returns home with her sister, only to face disturbing events between her stepmother and the ghosts haunting their house, all of which are connected to a dark past in the family's history. So really, it is. This girl comes home. She was in a mental institution. She comes home with her sister, and they both come back into the house. There's a stepmother now. Apparently their mother had died. The pieces of this, it's a little confusing at first, but you got to stick with it because this movie does not explain what the situation is. We are dropped into the situation where these two girls return home, and we know that there had been a tragedy before they left and that precipitated them leaving home and going to the mental institution. But you don't really know what exactly it is. You know the mother has died, their biological mother, that there's a new, young, beautiful stepmother that lives there now, and that the dad is kind of distraught and beside himself all the time. And there's a feeling in it. The dad reminds me of the dad in Hereditary. For some reason tonight I cannot remember
Gabriel Byrne.
I cannot remember names tonight for some reason. Gabriel Byrne, he reminds me a little of him. Like he just things start happening in the house and there's all this drama between the stepmother and the daughters, and he just doesn't want to get involved, and so he just kind of holds himself away and doesn't deal with it at all. But over the course of the film, pieces are put together and you begin to see what really happened and what really transpired. And by the end, it is pretty, a little on the disturbing side, but it's very effective. There's some really excellent creepy moments in this thing where there's ghostly activity and all that. But then it also reminded me of Hereditary in that way as well, in that there was a lot of family drama as well, with the supernatural stuff sort of on the fringes until the third act, when we start to see what caused everything to transpire. So this is it's always on the list, at least the list that I was looking at, of great haunting films, and it's a good one. 2003, and that is, again, repeating it, A Tale of Two Sisters. And you can find this on, I believe, it's on a channel on Amazon Channels called Horror TV. And you can do a free 7-day trial on Horror TV as if you add it as a channel on your Amazon. And then I think it's like $1.99 a month after that. There's not a lot of choices on this channel yet. I don't know what they're planning to do with it, but this is one of them, and it's well worth the 7-day trial just to watch this, because it was effective, very well acted, and beautifully shot. There were some shocking scenes, a couple good jump scares, and some very good creepiness in as well as a story that was it was told so well, because like I said before, they didn't give you all the answers. In fact, they gave you very few, and you just start piecing it together. And as an audience member, you're basically putting clues together yourself. They never really get explicit with anything. You just see stuff that leads you to put to connect the dots. And I'm telling you, that's not an easy thing to do, and have it be understandable at the end. So I highly recommend that. A Tale of Two Sisters. Joe?
I'm sticking with the classics, although I'm moving a little bit further ahead in time. I watched 1979 Amityville Horror. if you haven't seen this, it's kind of hard to believe you're listening to this podcast, but it's about a family that, newlywed family, they move into a house. It's mixed family, actually. It's, I believe, they had just recently gotten married, but the wife, played by Margot Kidder, has three children of her own, and come to find out that the house is haunted. And James Brolin is just the man in this movie. Just the scenes with him chopping wood and brooding throughout the house. I mean, you can tell he sold his role in this, which made it very difficult for me to find out that he did meet George Lutz, the real George Lutz, in person, and he visited the actual house that all this supposedly happened at, and he doesn't buy a word of it. Neither does Margot Kidder. So he still did, though, a very excellent job pulling this off. And my favorite character in this entire movie is Rod Steiger, who played the priest that visited the house.
Yeah.
That guy, he was amazing. I found out they poured honey on his head for that scene when he was in their bedroom trying to bless it and all the flies were coming in.
Did they do that?
And yeah, they spread honey on the back of his head to attract more of the flies.
That's crazy.
Although the for as demanding of a presence as Rod Steiger was in this film, his acting was just absolutely tremendous. But I feel so bad for him in one scene, and that's the scene where he's saying mass in church and he's blinded.
Yeah.
There's a piece of the church structure that falls off into on a zip line right at his eyes. All of a sudden he's blind, and it was so hokey and so poorly done.
Yeah.
That poor guy, they don't even explain really what happened to him even afterwards. He's just
what blind. I don't understand
is the emperor from Return of the Jedi at the end with the hood, the black hood and all that.
What I don't understand though is the house is haunted. So why is he getting beaten up by the church that he's miles away at the church? You'd think he'd be safe in his own sanctuary.
Well, because it's what's the guy's name from Jaws? Abraham Murphy. Murray?
Oh, Murray Hamilton.
Yeah, Murray Hamilton. I mean, he's the same character.
Murray Hamilton is a dick in every movie that he's in.
Every single one, man. I was laughing when I saw that. I was just going, oh, my God, that's right. He's in there. And it's the same freaking character, but he's in a priest costume. I couldn't believe it. Oh, Joe, did you realize that this is basically almost the same cast as Back to the Future? You know, at the beginning, the bald guy, the principal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. And the real estate woman is the same actress. Save the clock tower.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So it was a great movie. You should see it. And honestly, I will say I've seen I think it was 2005 remake with Ryan Reynolds. I liked it.
I hated that one.
I was just about to say, I know a lot of people hate it.
Oh,
apparently, both
God.
Of you do. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Hey, show a six-pack in the rain.
I thought
that was another one I wanted to punch the movie in the face.
Oh, my God.
I thought they did a much better job of creating the folklore of what was actually buried behind or under the house.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Rather than just, oh, it's a gateway to hell.
Yeah, I do. I like Gateways to Hell better than anything.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my review, 1979 Amityville Horror.
Yeah, you know, if you were alive in the 70s, every teenager in America was talking about that movie. I remember I was little at the time, but I remember all the teenagers in our neighborhood, and there were tons for some reason. They were all talking about that movie, and I was like, oh my God, it's got to be the scariest thing ever. So I actually put off watching it for a long time, and I probably didn't watch it until I was in high school myself, and when I did, I was kind of like, oh, it's not that scary, but I it's a good one though. I watched it a few years ago, and that pig scene still kind of gives me the creeps, even though it's a little cheesy too, but I that still creeps me out.
It's a great movie. It's absolutely a classic.
Mark, what did you watch? What's the next one?
Well, you guys told me to watch a series on Netflix called The Haunting on Hill House, correct?
The Haunting of Hill House, yeah.
The Haunting of Hill House.
Which is basically, now, this ties into what Joe watched, because it is based also loosely, very loosely, based on the book Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, mm-hmm. which was the first movie Joe watched. The Haunting is also based on that. So it's a similar story, but of course Mike Flanagan did a completely different thing with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I didn't do my homework on this. I didn't write a synopsis, and so there could be a lot of Mark layups coming up. Markalisms, what do you call them? Markalepsies.
Markalepsy.
Yeah. So basically, it's a family. I believe it's 9 episodes, but the story is about a family that comes in to renovate this huge mansion, and it goes back and forth from present to the past. It's a family of, I believe, 4 kids. 2 are twins. You have the father, who is Henry Thomas from E.T. He plays Elliot. And he has a wife who I believe was the actress from Gerald's Game, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Mike Flanagan's movie. And they're renovating the house, and there's hauntings, there's ghosts, there's creepy things that happens. And it goes back and forth of just like what actually happened. It's so interesting because
there's a little bit of it in this, right? Like,
yeah.
because we see the past when the kids are growing up and they're living there as children, and then instead of it, kind of just did it in two parts, right? They did the little kid part in the first movie, and then they did the adult part in the second movie. But this cuts back and forth from those kids as adults.
Yeah, yeah. This series is the best horror series I think ever made for TV. This series is amazing. I was enthralled from the very first episode all the way to the end. Believe it or not, there weren't many jump scares except the last episode, I believe, or maybe it was episode 8 when the two sisters are driving towards the mansion to find their brother.
Yes, yes, yes.
Holy God, I jump.
That was actually
so
a
high.
Really, really good jump scare, yeah.
My God, guys.
And actually, Mark, now that you mention it, the fact that you said that there weren't many jump scares.
Yeah, it
made that one way more effective.
Yes, yes, because you're so comfortable, and you're just involved in the story and just the dialogue, and you're so involved with the characters. Because a lot of people are saying that this series was like a slow start because they're introducing each character on each episode, really getting you involved.
Yep,
and each episode is basically a movie, because I think each episode is like 49 minutes long to 54 minutes. And one of my favorite episodes was the drug user. I forgot his name.
Yeah, the brother, yeah.
But what a great episode that was.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And he was being followed. They were all being followed by a different character from the house, right?
Yes.
A different ghost, yeah.
Yeah, and just with him, and there was so – the fact that – this is what's so great about TV and streaming that I absolutely love. I know it's destroying, you know, movie theaters and everyone's streaming, but, man, what a way to really develop characters. And that's what I love about horror films, when they really develop characters. And, boy, did they do that. I mean, Mike Flanagan hit this out of the park. And I know he did another series afterwards, something Bly Manor.
The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Bly Manor. And I heard it's not as good from
It's still good. It's definitely worth watching. It's still good, but it's not nearly as good as Hill House.
Yeah, well, I don't know what can, because I mean, it's an A+ in my book. I mean, I'm like how many cuts I can give this. It's fantastic.
Haunting of Bly Manor.
Please.
Haunting of Bly Manor is basically the same cast too. It's got Henry Thomas. It's got the main girl. It's got a bunch of stuff. Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
I'm gonna watch it. But
and I'd say it's the only television show that gave me the creeps too. That like kind of scared me.
It's you know, there, so the, good.
The, those first couple episodes where you don't know what's going on in the house, especially there were some creepy characters in that. And
what a great haunted house. I mean, it was beautiful to watch. I mean, every nook and cranny is so well done.
And there's if you haven't seen it before, it's a little distracting, but there are ghosts hidden in the backgrounds of scenes that you'll see a scene between two people. And if you look in the background behind one of them, you'll see the like a shoulder of somebody standing in shadows, or you'll see like a face looking in a window at the people while they're having their scene. And I remember the first time I noticed it, I was like, what is that? That's creepy. I thought it was maybe a continuity error or like a crew member was caught on film.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up, and there were ghosts hidden in scenes all throughout that series. So I thought it was fantastic. They don't really do that very much in Bly Manor, though. They did a little bit. But his new series has been getting rave reviews.
Awesome.
That's on Netflix. It's called Midnight Mass. So
it's
I did
on
one
an
of
island,
my,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. And it's gotten rave reviews. In fact... A couple people I know think it's the best horror thing of the year. So I'm excited for that one. I haven't started it because my wife we'd been running through The Sopranos, and we just finished The Sopranos last night. So we're going to be on to Midnight Mass soon. My next movie I watched The Change. I did a couple revisits. I revisited The Changeling. I'm not going to talk too much about it because it was in my favorite movies of all time. I just wanted to watch it again, and it's so good. It's just so amazing. It's such a great script and such creepy moments in that. I love it. But I did watch it. We watched a new one this weekend that I believe was a Shudder exclusive, and it's called Z. And it's about a boy who develops an imaginary friend, and this imaginary friend's name is Z. And there's basically a family finds themselves terrorized by their 8-year-old son's imaginary friend. He's this creepy creature that you don't really see except in a couple flashes of the character that are very effective and pretty good jump scares. It's not a great movie, but it sort of reminds me of Babadook a little bit. It's not as good as Babadook, but it's similar in that they're not sure what's going on with the boy. They think he might be, you know, having some emotional issues. And at a certain point, it's hard to talk past a certain point because there is a revelation that happens that sort of changes everything. And so I don't want to talk too much about it because we'll get into the point where it's hard to go, but there were some creepy moments and definitely a good atmosphere. I thought the acting was excellent. The boy was hit and miss a little bit, but there were some good creepy little kid things, and the parents were pretty good for the most part. It's not great, but it is on Shudder. It's called Z. So Joe, what's your next one or last one or whatever?
My next one is The Vigil from 2019. Now, did both of you guys watch this?
I watched it a while back.
Okay, I'll do a synopsis and then I have a question. So our main character, his name's Yaakov. He is a reformed, I guess, Hasidic Jew. They start off the movie with him in almost like a support a support group for guys that have recently left the church.
Yeah, he's had some issue himself too, but
Right. And he gets asked by a friend. He's low on faith and low on funds, and he coincidentally has a friend of his from the church who's a very devout practicing Hasidic Jew, asks him if he would be the overnight shimmer, in the Jewish faith, when somebody dies, they have somebody watch over the body. And I believe it's for 3 days, but he only needs to watch over this body for one night. Actually, I think it's 5 hours, because they're going to come to take the body away the very next morning at sunup. And all he's got to do
I think the previous person who had done it wouldn't come back or something like that, wasn't it?
Right. Like somebody canceled on him.
Yeah,
so
no, he ran off. He was scared.
Okay. So it seems like a very simple job. Sit there, watch the body for 5 hours. The only other person left in the house is the widow. And, you know, she was going to be upstairs sleeping supposedly for most of the night. Anyway, as you can very well imagine, there are some things that are going to surprise you throughout the film. He's constantly being haunted by a demon which was responsible, or an entity, I don't know what you would even call that thing, which was responsible for providing us with the corpse, and starts to go after our star, Yakov. I will say this, the film does an excellent job of really closing in the walls and making you feel claustrophobic in this tiny little house in Brooklyn. Like you just feel like there's nowhere left for him to go. There is no escape.
Right.
But my question for you two is, do you think that the Hasidic Jew that hired Yakov in the first place is well aware of the Masik?
Yeah.
The thing
was
called?
Demon? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he was well aware of it? And because of the fact that Yakov left the church, that he was willing to sort of dupe him into getting the Masik's attention?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Like maliciously?
Yeah,
I could see it that way, or I could see he just didn't believe there was anything wrong. Like he sets people up to do this all the time, and one guy ran out because he got creeped out or whatever. But and I don't know. Like I couldn't tell. It was hard to read that guy's motives, but I had it. I definitely felt like, I mean, he was paying him a lot of money to sit there. You know, like it wasn't like just a little bit of cash.
$400, yeah.
But again, I was thinking that if he could have offered to pay him $40,000, and it wouldn't matter, because if this Masik thing was true, he wouldn't have to pay up by the time morning comes.
Yeah,
good
that's
point.
True. Yeah.
No, I really like this movie. I just
did
lost
you watch
all...
it this? You watched it this time too?
Yeah, I watched
it.
The only problem I had with this movie, I mean, I love this movie all the way through. It was a little dark in a lot of the film, of course, because you know it's a haunted house, which it's fine, but I mean, I really liked this movie until he went into the old lady's room where with all the wigs and whatnot, and she's going, you know, he's over there, and he says, okay, fine. So he starts wrapping himself up in black tape, and then he puts a GoPro on his head. Like I don't understand why he put a GoPro on his head.
Nope, that's not what that was.
What?
That's not black tape. That was black leather. And that thing that he put on his head is a religious thing. It's not mechanical at all. It was...
It's not a GoPro?
It's not a GoPro. It was like...
Oh, no, I did a real... Good God!
It was a Hasidic Jew. It was like a headdress type thing.
Is that
ceremonial,
what it is?
And it was supposed
to... It's a GoPro!
No, it was this black... It was a rectangle, but it was this... That whole pack,
but Joe,
that whole little
fanny
pack.
Why did the guy put on a miner's helmet?
Well, no, you know, I was thinking in the film, it's like, where did he get this GoPro? It's like, they didn't show it in the whole entire film.
Okay, you remember like in The Exorcist when the priests come to do the exorcism?
Yeah.
They put those, you know, on the robes and the scarves or whatever you call it, and... Okay, that's their gear to protect them against Satan. This is the Hasidic Jew version, and it ain't no GoPro.
I thought it was a GoPro. Oh, God. Well, okay, well, I like the film better now. Oh, no. I need glasses. I need glasses. It looked like a GoPro. I was like, why is he starting filming this, and why does he have a GoPro? He didn't get it from the house. Okay, well, it makes more sense now. All right.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be confusing.
Oh, shit.
That's funny.
Where's the live feed?
Yeah. Well, I'm like, why is he filming this? It's like, oh, man, okay, shit.
Maybe the sequel would be like a found footage film.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe they'll do a sequel, and we'll see everything through the GoPro. Of course, he only had the GoPro on for like 5 minutes, so it'd be a short one.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome for your pumpkin spice.
Oh, Mark. Well, it was no pousse, but that's okay.
Yeah. So anyway, to conclude, that was, unless you had something else to say, Matt.
No, about that movie. No, I mean, yeah. Other than I really enjoyed that one. If you recall, I watched this the same week that I watched, what was the one you didn't like? Caveat. And remember, Caveat, I remember saying they're similar movies because it's about a guy who has some kind of something in his history. In Caveat, you got to see more about what his history was, but than you did in this one. It was kind of hard to tell what his deal was, other than he was sort of a non-practicing Jew. But but they were similar because there was a guy going into a house who had to just stay the night.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I liked about there's various levels of how you can watch this film. I mean, there's a real deep dive where you could get into the symbolisms of him leaving his faith and questioning the Hasidic Jew lifestyle and how that, you know, how he's wrestling with his faith as that sort of personified as this demon.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can simply watch it as a haunted house film.
Yeah, there were definitely layers to it. Yeah,
yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed this one a lot, and it's still, I believe, you know, because I keep track of the horror movies I'm watching that are new this year, and it's still in my top. I think top five for the year.
This is 2019.
But yeah, it was but it's released this year.
Was it?
Oh really?
Yeah. It was supposed to be released. Actually, I think it was supposed to be released last year. But yeah, it's technically, I, everybody that I'm following is considering it a 2021 movie. I think it was a US release or something like that this year.
Well, I like it a lot more now.
Okay.
Oh, Matt, please talk about Terrified. You have to.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. You watched Terrified this week. Well, you go ahead, because I have talked about it before, but...
No,
I haven't talked about it at length. I've mentioned it before, but yeah, go ahead.
No, Matt. Do the synopsis of Terrified, because I didn't write the synopsis for it, but it's so good. You have to. It's from Argentina.
Yeah.
It's a great film. It's basically about a block that's haunted, which is different than other, you know, haunted houses movie. It's a whole entire block. And
specifically, I think a couple houses across the street from each other, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And this movie was so great. I don't know why, but this movie reminded me of Ghostbusters. I don't know, Matt, if you could kind of relate to it, because they bring – no, don't laugh, Joe. What happens is they bring a specialist of ghosts, a woman who's like a specialist in supernaturals, and they have this awesome cop that I just fell in love with. He's great. He has a heart problem. And this movie is fantastic. I jumped out of
what a beginning.
Skin.
What a beginning, huh?
Oh God, the beginning in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Just back and forth.
This is
my gosh.
This is one that I put it was in my top 10 horror movies of the 2010s.
Oh my gosh.
So
yes.
Put it, it's at number 10 for me in the 2010s. I think it's fantastic. And
it's
that
awesome.
That opening scene where the guy, he and his wife go to bed, and then he wakes up and he hears this pounding sound, and he thinks it's the neighbor, and he goes in and it's his wife, basically. She's being
back
slammed
and forth,
against
slammed.
The walls by something that you can't see. And it's pretty shocking the way they filmed it. It was really good.
What was your – because I did an oh, my God. I did after in the group chat.
So,
what was
your
oh, my God?
Well, there were two really good jump scares. I don't want to go too far into them, but there was a scene where the woman runs out to the car.
My oh, my God.
And Michelle and I both were like, oh, my God. Like that image was insane.
Insane.
And, yeah. That was fantastic. But there's also sort of a time – element to it, kind of a time weirdness, dreams, almost a dream logic.
It's like a different dimensions. I don't want to ruin it too much.
This woman, her son has died, and they had the funeral. I think this all happens before the movie, right? Or how did I can't remember how the boy died, but he they go, the woman calls the police or these paranormal people or something. And it's been a while since I've seen it, so I need to catch up. But that image, there's a boy that comes back and he's died and he was buried. But yet she comes into the dining room and he's sitting there. The boy is sitting there
with a bowl of cereal and a glass
of
milk, man.
And
oh my God.
And
it's
he's
so
like,
freaky.
He's frozen there with dirt all over him, like he's crawled out of his
he
grave.
He did crawl,
yeah,
because
there's mud prints leading up and everything. But he's sitting there just frozen. And that image, there's some images in this that are just insane. I love this movie. I'm so glad you got to watch it.
Yeah, I saw it. I wish Joe watched it, because when I'm watching it, I texted in the group chat. And I was like, Joe, have you seen this? And he's like, no, I'm staying away from him. I was going, I wanted Joe's reaction, because this film is got to be in my top 10 that I've seen all year. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. Now watch
Highly
Joe's.
Recommend.
Joe's going to hate it, but...
No, he's going to hate it.
Okay, why would you say that?
I don't know.
How can he hate this movie?
I don't know.
Why would you say that?
Just because...
He's dead inside.
Sometimes, often, what I find scary are not things that you find scary. But I think that I'm saying that because we're building it up so much, and then you're going to be like,
I know.
It was all right.
It was all right.
It was fine. It was
kind of boring. Anyway,
I'm actually watching.
I'm saving that for the other movie we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go, Joe, because I'm with you.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about Satan Slaves. You guys didn't like it?
One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
I wouldn't go that far.
Are you kidding me?
It's horrible. It's horrible. This movie sucked. I was 3 minutes and 14 seconds into this movie, and I was very optimistic, and I just... knew I was in for a ride. It just looks beautiful, the cinematography, the music, the red titles. And then it just tanked. This movie is not scary. It's laughable.
You might have waited to a little bit past 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
Well, no. I think I was at 41 minutes and 27 seconds into this movie, and I knew I hated it. Because I wrote it down. I literally wrote it down. This movie's absolutely atrocious. Matt, why don't you tell the synopsis? No, Joe, you do it. You tell the synopsis on this.
Well, I don't think Joe hated as much as you did.
Yeah, I'm kind of middle of the road. It's a family. There's a father. The mother's sick.
It's set in Indonesia.
Indonesia.
It's very unusual because you don't normally see an Islamic culture in a horror movie. It's very rare.
Right. The mother was, I don't want to call it a pop star, but she was a recording artist.
Right, yeah.
And, but she's sick in bed and, you know, the family's struggling for money and they have a grandmother that lives with them too. And their youngest child, their son, is deaf, I believe. Just communicates via sign language.
Yeah, he's deaf.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope I'm not giving this away. Yeah. I don't want to say any more about it because the one thing I was going to say is going to give away the ending.
Well, I thought there's some good set pieces.
About the son.
There were some good set pieces in it with the, like, the blanket. You know, they were throwing that blanket or whatever.
Kept on going with it.
There were some decent jump scares in there. Yeah. That was one of them in particular.
There's no jump scares in this movie. No way.
I mean, you could see it was coming, several. But... I mean, the perfect one was, it was kind of a dream sequence where the daughter goes into the room and sees the mother out of bed
with
staring at the window.
And the bell. And
yeah.
All that, yeah.
And then she goes to put her hand on her shoulder. And right before that, she turns and looks in the bed and her mother's in the bed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I thought that was pretty effective too.
Yeah,
the only qualm I had with it is that it could have been cut down a bit. I thought the third act dragged
it
a bit.
It was dragged. Yes.
Well, look, as beautiful as some of these shots are, I mean, the director misses the beats to scare you, in my opinion.
No, I didn't feel that way.
I mean, I know if I'm used to jump scares, I don't know. It's a different story with directing, but I'm sometimes not scared watching these films. I mean, do you guys know what I'm saying? I mean, I wasn't scared at all. It was laughable. I thought the acting was absolutely horrific.
I liked the story, and I liked the cinematography.
It's a good story.
I thought the director did an excellent job when the town or cult, I guess, came to reclaim their prize, and they're all standing out there with the umbrellas. I thought that was a very nice, creepy atmosphere that he established. My problems, I have two problems with it. First one was, it was just way too long.
Yeah, it was definitely too long.
They could have told that story in 80 minutes. And then the second part is, I have a real big issue when you're in a horror film, and the way that you defeat the ghosts is you just love your family harder.
Yeah,
I'm like, is this who's directing this? Kirk Cameron? Yeah. I don't want to see this.
It definitely had third act problems. Yeah.
There was like 2 minutes of them just singing on a couch for crying out loud, waiting for the car to come. With all that happening, and they're just laughing and singing on the couch. Just freaking leave, man. It's day, and then they sleep there for another night. How stupid is that?
Yeah, that seemed really contrived.
This movie's horrible. Horrible.
Like I said, I'm not going to say it's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah, if I ordered a car and 12 hours go by and the car hasn't shown up yet, coincidentally, I'm not just going to I guess we'll just...
Let's drag the kid down in a well. You're diving in a well.
I guess we'll just sleep in our clothes. Yeah.
Stupid movie.
That part was a tad contrived.
Yeah.
But overall, I like the movie. I think it's a good one.
I don't know how you do that.
Mark, you're watching it wrong.
No, I did not watch that.
So you had your head up your butt. Let's see. Martyr's Lane was my next one. And this one I just watched today because I wouldn't say I was dying to see it, but it had been on my radar because it's a new one on Shudder. And I liked it. I thought it's not great, but I did give it 3.5 cuts. So I think it's a good movie there. It's basically, again, it's another movie where you're not quite sure what the whole situation is, but there's this little girl. And she notices that her mom has a locket around her neck all the time. And she's wondering what is in that locket. It's a fascination she has about this locket on her mom. When she finally opens it, there's a curl of blonde hair. And so her mom starts to wake up. Or I'm sorry. Her mom's asleep and she sneaks into her bedroom and opens the locket to see. No, I'm sorry. I got that wrong again. The mom is actually taking a shower, and she had set the locket on the counter. So she sneaks into the bathroom and opens the locket, finds the hair. Well, the hair is like tightly like spooled into the locket. And so when she opens it, it kind of undoes, and she can't get it back in. And the mom starts – she hears the mom turn off the water in the shower. So she runs off with it, and – in the middle of the night, she goes into her mom's bedroom to try to get it back into the locket, which is around her mom's neck, and her mom wakes up. And so she runs out of the room and throws it out the window so she doesn't get in trouble. And then she starts being visited by this little girl in the window. And the scene sort of reminded – do you remember – have you guys ever seen Salem's Lot, the original, the old one?
Oh, hell yeah.
The scene where the boy's in his bed and there's that his friend comes floating over to the window and everything.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it's similar, a little similar at first anyway to that. This girl, she looks in her window and there's this little girl, a very ghostly looking girl in her window. And she comes in and they start playing games and she starts telling her where she can find things. And that's about where I'll leave it because the rest of it starts to be kind of a mystery like a lot of these movies are. And it goes in a fairly typical place, but it's an hour and a half long. It works pretty well. The ending gets a little cheesy, so I didn't care for the ending. The tone of the movie is very much a slow burn kind of film. But the relationship between these two little girls is fantastic, and they're both amazing actresses. And the rest of the cast is good too. But there's a darkness to the film. There's this kind of weird edge to the film most of the time, and then at the end it kind of devolves into this very cheesy ending that was. I mean, it's not a happy ending, but it gets a little. I don't know. It's hard to explain without giving away too much, but it gets a little cheesy at the end. Overall, though, I do recommend it. I give it 3.5 stars. It's on Shudder, and it's called Martyr's Lane. So it's a good, pretty good haunting film. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Did you guys have any others, or are we on to Joe's new thing?
Yeah, we're going on Joe's new thing because this could be the longest episode ever.
Oh, no.
There's so much to talk about.
I also watched Insidious.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we don't need to talk about that.
Is
Everybody's
that the first time
it.
You'd seen it?
No, it was my second. I rewatched it. I liked it. I don't know that I've seen all the others, but
I haven't.
I don't see anything
I love
wrong
that
with the movie.
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so enough of that. We're on to the fun stuff.
Oh boy.
Okay, so I came up with a new game. It's called What's My Tagline? So what I've done is I've gone through and I've looked at the taglines for 15 famous haunted movies.
Ooh.
Oh, God, no.
Beautiful.
I'm going to read the tagline, and I don't honestly expect you to get the name of the movie off the tagline. So after each tagline, I will one at a time read three clues about that film.
Excellent. Okay.
And I would hope that after reading the tagline and the three clues, one of you guys should be able to get what the name of the movie is.
You would think.
Yes.
Yeah.
One would think. Again, your name is your buzzer, and you guys understand the rules?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all ready to go?
Yes.
Yes. Mark.
All right. Question number one. Sooner or later, they will find you. No takers?
Matt.
No
takers.
Matt.
The others.
Yes, that is correct.
Shit.
Wow.
Matt, you better not be researching on your computer while you're
I'm
doing
not,
this.
I'm not. My hands are up.
Get your hands up.
Yeah, released in 2001, takes place at the end of World War II, starring Nicole Kidman. Those were my three clues.
All right.
Okay, question number two.
My hands are up.
For God's sakes, get out.
Mark?
Mark?
Amityville Horror?
That is correct.
Yes!
I was going to say that.
I was thinking it was just Get Out. But
released in 1979, takes place along the coast of Long Island and starring Josh Brolin. No, James Brolin.
James Brolin, yeah.
James Brolin.
His
not
dad.
Ryan Reynolds.
His dad, yes.
And not Ryan Reynolds, no.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, question number three. An experience beyond total fear.
This is familiar.
Hit number one, released in 1980.
Say the line again.
An experience beyond total fear.
Matt? The Shining?
No. Hint number two, takes place in a mansion. Last hint. Starring George C. Scott.
Oh, God.
Oh, the Changeling.
Yes.
I should have known
that
one.
Yeah, that's your your movie. That's your boy right there.
So,
which is a great movie.
Matt's got one. Mark's got two.
Great recommendation, though, Matt. That movie was a little life-altering. That movie is so damn good.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Okay. Question number four. Ding dong, you're dead.
Matt? House.
That is correct.
So I did you. That hurt.
Released in 1985, takes place in a...
86.
House of a novelist's aunt. and stars a real American hero.
Nice.
Question number five. In every mind, there is a door that has never been opened. In every mind, there is a door that has never been opened. First hint, released in 1999.
Matt.
Matt?
Stir of Echoes.
That is correct. Nice. Second hint was takes place in Chicago, and third hint was it's only 6 degrees away.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so 3-2. Question number six. The Dolphin Hotel invites you to stay in any of its stunning rooms except one.
Dolphin Hotel.
Matt.
Matt.
1408.
That is correct. Question number seven. What happens when you sleep? Released in 2007. Shot in 10 days. The entire
Matt,
film.
Matt. Paranormal
Matt,
Activity.
That is correct.
Shit.
Question number eight. In this house, if you've seen one ghost, you haven't seen them all. In this house, if you've seen one ghost, you haven't seen them all.
Mark. 13
Mark.
Ghosts?
No.
Shit.
Released in 1988, the film was also... the film was almost called Scared Sheetless. This movie was the first DVD sent out on Netflix mail service in 1998.
And you said, did you say the movie is 1988?
Yes.
1988. Say the tagline again.
In this house, if you've seen one ghost, you haven't seen them all.
I don't know.
Nothing but trouble?
Nope, both wrong. It was Beetlejuice.
Oh, crap.
Oh.
Question number nine. For the sake of your sanity, pray it isn't true.
What year?
He hasn't said yet.
I didn't give a year.
For the sake of your sanity,
pray it isn't true. Hint number one. Released in 1973.
Oh, The Exorcist. Mark, The Exorcist.
Wrong.
It is 1973 would be The Legend of Hell House or something like that. Hell House?
The Legend of Hell House.
Well done, Matt.
Okay, question number 10. The tagline is a masterpiece of modern horror.
Matt. The Shining.
Yes.
Well, that was going to happen. We all knew that was going to happen. Just plain.
Number 11. It never forgives. It never forgets.
Ooh.
Hint number one, released in 2004.
Never forgives. It never forgets.
Hint number two, takes place in Tokyo.
Mark. The Grudge.
Mark the Grudge
Good
is right.
Good job, Mark.
Oh, yeah. It's too late now. I'm going to be 0 for 4. I hate you guys sometimes.
Okay. Question 12. A love tale, a horror story.
Love tale, a horror story.
Released in 2007. Executive producer was Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, Mark.
Mark.
Wait, no, I know. Pan's Labyrinth.
Wrong. Last hint for Matt. Over 400 children auditioned for the role of Simone.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. You know what? I can't think of the name of this now. I can't think of the name of it.
I got it.
All right.
I got it.
We'll throw that one away.
I got it.
But you already gave a wrong answer. You're done.
What was that one?
So what is it? The Orphanage.
Oh, The Orphanage. Yeah. Damn it. I should have known that because I love that movie, too.
Son of a bitch.
Number 13. The tagline is, see evil.
See evil. All right. Mark looks like he wants to poop. He looks like he's got a really strong poop.
He's throwing a tail.
I just stopped because I don't know if this is a haunted house movie or not. Because, I mean, it is a haunted house movie, but is it a haunted house movie? So give me a second one.
It was released in 2002.
Oh, it's not that one.
Nominated in 2016 by the media website ComingSoon.com as the best opening scene in a horror film.
2002.
Last hint, starring a very reluctant Juliana Margulies. I cannot believe you guys aren't getting it.
No, I know it. The House on Haunted Hill.
No.
Matt.
No?
Matt. Ghost Ship.
Correct.
Damn it.
Don't you remember that opening scene where they're all dancing out on the deck?
Yes.
Of that ship liner and the cable snaps and cuts everybody
in
half.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, love that film.
What a great scene.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay, number 14. Evil loves innocence.
It's so random. Evil loves innocence.
Released in 2013. Takes place in a dilapidated Rhode Island farmhouse. The original working title of this film was The Warren Files.
Matt. The Conjuring.
That is correct.
I hate myself.
Well, you don't have to hate yourself much longer. Run to the last one.
Thank God.
And I'll give you 10 points for whoever gets this.
Okay, done. Go.
Check your pulse at the door. If you have one. First hint. Released in 2003. Second hint. It stars a donkey, a doll, and a general.
The hell?
A donkey, a doll, and a general.
And a general.
Yep.
2003. Check your...
Last hint.
Check your...
The structure was influenced by both coasts.
What? Say it again.
The structure was influenced by both coasts.
You got another one? Got another hint?
Nope, that's all I got.
2003?
Yes.
Check your... What was it again?
Check your pulse at the door.
If you have one.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know that one.
Wait, hang on.
Throw it in the towel?
I'm not.
2003. Yeah, I don't know.
Tons of Japanese movies. What?
A donkey, a doll, and a general.
Donkey
and general.
I have no idea. What the...
All right, the answer is Disney's A Haunted Mansion.
Oh, God.
Shut up, you asshole.
I've never seen
you
that.
You asshole. I've never seen that movie.
Okay, here's what I meant. The donkey was Eddie Murphy, who played the donkey in Shrek. It also has...
But he's not an actual donkey in the movie, is he?
He's not in the movie.
Jennifer, these are hints. Jennifer Tilly is in it, and she plays Bride of Chucky.
Oh,
she was
God.
The doll.
I hate you.
Stars... Terrence Stamp, who played General Zod in Superman.
Oh, my God.
There's your general.
What the hell? How are we supposed to get that? That's ridiculous.
That was horrible.
That's horrible.
If I threw out the last one, Matt still won.
Of course.
Is it 9-3.
I only got three right.
You only got three right.
That was a tough one, Joe. That was a tough one.
Yeah.
It was fun, and that's actually great idea, Joe.
Yeah, that was
Thank
a good
you.
Idea, Joe.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That was,
Thank
that
you.
Was a great idea.
All right. Well, this was a supersized episode of the Sinister Podcast.
hour 9 of the Cinescare Telethon. Yeah.
You can, all right. You can cut the court scene out.
All right, people.
That,
well,
that might save some time.
Okay, so the next episode we'll be doing, again, will be Halloween, and we'll be in middle of Shocktober, so good luck watching your Shocktober viewings, and please let us know what you're watching in our Facebook group, or follow us on Instagram or Twitter. Mr. Mark Piscati is on Twitter, rocking it out. And we've got some extra fun announcements next time, too. Some interesting things I think you're going to enjoy next time. So,
and also check the social media outlets for the contest winner. Because this will come out on
right.
October
1. Yeah, that's right. Yes. We're naming my 12-foot skeleton out in front of my house. We're naming that, and we've had a whole bunch of ideas and suggestions. So I'm still trying to figure out which one is the best one. So, but we will announce that on the website, or actually on our Facebook group and all of our social media, I guess, this Friday, in the same day that this episode comes out.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for this time, and we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
I like Gateways to Hell better than anything.
Oh, that's insane.